Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 108.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Carter. Members and visitors in the gallery are asked to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Carter.
Let us pray. Father, as we do come before your throne this evening, once again, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being an American. We thank you, dear God, for the blessings that you bestow upon us every day that a lot of times, Lord, we do take for granted. But, Father, I do pray today that you'd bless this body. We pray many times and we talk many times about our responsibilities. And with that responsibility will come one day great judgment. I pray that you would help us as we make our decisions to make them according to your plan, O Lord, because you are the creator. You're the beginning and the end. We do pray for our nation. We pray for all those in authority. We pray especially for our law enforcement, our EMS, the first responders, and Lord, that always you'd protect them, as that's a lot of times they go out in harm's way to protect us. And Father, we ask now that you bless this session. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 6th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for August 6th to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, our nurse of the day is Melanie Hensley from Greensboro. Ms. Hensley, thank you for being with us today. Representatives Corbin and Warren are recognized to send forth a committee report. Clerk Reeb.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report. House Bill 431, Fiber NC Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-refer to finance.
Original bill on favorable calendar, committee substitute, re-refer to the committee on finance. Ratification of bills, resolutions. Clerk Reeb.
The Royal Clerk reports the following bills due to ratify for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 68, an act to amend percentage of non-betterment cost by the municipalities for relocation of water and sewer lines. Senate Bill 321, an act to implement requirements for the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administrative Performance and Registration Information System Management Program. Senate Bill 584, an act to make changes to future criminal laws related to regulatory offenses, to extend the time for local governments to report ordinances with criminal penalties, and to require the General Statutes Commission to study current offenses and enact it by the statute.
Chapter bills will be noted. For our purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry. Price. Calendar, House Bill 645. The clerk will read.
Representatives Sane, Dixon, Jones, and Ray, House Bill 645, a bill to be entitled an act to revise the outdoor advertising laws, General Assembly of North Carolina.
The gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill comes back from the Senate, watered down more than what we watered it down here on the House floor. You saw during our debate that
Actually, Representative Staines, the gentleman have a motion to concur or not concur.
I move that we concur. Yes, sir.
The gentleman has moved to concur. The gentleman continues to have the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as I was alluding to, we had worked with a lot of folks that had concerns about this bill, including the League of Municipalities and others. Got it to a good place. Went over to the Senate. Was watered down some more. We did get a favorable vote out of the House. I know that folks have certain opinions one way or the other on this bill. I just ask that you please support the bill. And if you're not, we understand that too. But it was about time to pull the lever on this one and get it out of the House. So I urge support of the bill.
For what purpose of the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen in the House, I encourage you to vote no on this motion. This bill is going to protect the interests of the billboard industry at the expense of trees, local government authority, and the scenic beauty of our state. It limits local ordinances designed to protect drivers from tall, bright, flashing digital boards. It undoes the amendment that this body passed when we heard this bill that would limit the conversion of regular billboards to digital billboards. And primarily, I'm just concerned with what it does to local protection on ordinances that would be preempted in any other local control. So I encourage you to vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To speak on the motion.
Gentlemen, as for?
I intend to vote no on the motion to concur. I do want to recognize the fact that I believe the bill as it came over from the Senate is better than the bill that we sent over there, but I still have problems with it. I think a fair reading of the bill will suggest that most existing signs in the state after we pass this bill will be conforming, and thus those billboards, hundreds of which are non-conforming right now, will be allowed to be altered. Secondly, the bill allows existing signs to be relocated by the owner and allows alterations as part of the relocation. And that doesn't bother me in a case where there's condemnation proceedings occurring, but it is bothersome. Again, the issue here is the ability of localities, cities and counties to regulate signs. And then there's a provision that defines an area zoned commercial or industrial in such a way that it opens the door to new signs in areas that are predominantly residential. I think it would be relatively easy if we had a conference to address these issues, and if this was coming back in the form that I could try to amend it, I would, but I can't. I think we don't know where the governor will stand on this thing, but I think, you know, I've been told directly that, you know, the governor's office views it as a bad bill. I haven't been told that it will be vetoed, but some may want to think about that one way or the other as you decide whether you're going to concur, agree to the motion to concur. Again, I'll be voting no.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise? I'd like to ask Representative Sane a question or two, if I may. Representative Sane, does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Sane. I haven't read this latest version. I have read the bill earlier, and I'm just wondering about some things that may or may not be dealt with in the bill. I'm wondering if you had an average idea, if we do not pass this bill, what the loss of the ability to have billboards might be, financial loss to some of these companies.
Well, I don't have a figure for you, Mr. Speaker, if I may. I don't have an idea for you, Representative Pittman. But much as we've discussed before, I mean, the industry is because of the pressures being put upon it, as you know, we move forward. The industry is losing dollars and losing space, and so this tries to address that in some form or fashion while trying to make compromises with, you know, the League, with the County Commission Association and so forth. As it went over to the Senate, that same spirit as it left the House is just trying to find some happy, you know, middle ground as Representative McGrady alluded to, that you know, it has been worked upon, and that's where we're at today. It's an issue that will continue to keep coming up in this body. Our attempt this session is to at least get some closure, some close on it, and to move it forward.
Follow up. Chairman Yule?
I do.
Yields. But you would say that it would could be quite significant financial damage to these companies, I would think.
Mr. Speaker, if I may.
The gentleman has the floor to respond.
Thank you. I would suggest that, you know, with any business, as that's their business model, and as their ability to, you know, to do their business is more and more limited, it would certainly decrease their revenue opportunities.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 645. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk light machine record the vote. 60 haven't voted in the affirmative, 54 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 645. Bill's already enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 206, the clerk will read. And chair intends to move around the calendar. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 206, clerk will read.
Representative Talbot, House Bill 206, conference report, various transportation changes, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Talbot, recognized for a motion.
Motion to concur, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman is recognized for the motion to concur. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, each and every year, we have a couple of DOT bills that are conglomerates of a lot of information. One is typically called the DOT bill. The other one is typically called the DMV bill. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the DOT bill. It is an omnibus bill of different things that have occurred during the year that DOT feels needs to be addressing. It's been met in this House and chamber, and the Senate has concurred, and here we are today. So basically what it does, or how it comes back, is, and we have worked cohesively and collaboratively with the Senate to make these adjustments. Technical change to correct the name of a hospital in Section 3.5. A minor change to P3 language in Section 5 requested by DOT. And we have deleted a Section 3.5, which was a repeal of a 2016 budget provision authorizing lease/conveyance of Murphy Branch Rail Line. And also added Section 10, a sale DOT properties in Wake County. To give you a little bit on the last one, which seemed to be the one I had the most questions about, is that we had been selling some properties that were once DOT properties, and we felt that the residual or the sale dollars would need to stay within internal to the Department of Transportation. There was some question on some properties whether that was a previous DOT property or not. We have rectified that in this language. And so right now, for example, when the New Bern property sells that currently houses DMV, but since they're moving out of that property and the building has pretty much been condemned, when that property sells and the proceeds would stay internal to DOT. And that's simply the culmination of all the technical corrections. Move for a favorable vote, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report for House Bill 206. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 206, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 217, the clerk will read.
Representatives Sane, Jones, and Kyle Hall, House Bill 217, conference report, Department of Information Technology changes, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do move that we adopt the conference report. This is an agency bill.
The gentleman has moved that the House adopt the conference report. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do ask that you support this this bill, the conference report, we had worked with the agency, Department of Information Technology, to add just a few more technical tweaks to the bill. We kept it very clean with the Senate and just urge your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to see if the bill sponsor would yield for a question.
Representative Sains, gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Sains, thank you, sir. On the first page of the conference report at the very bottom, the very last line, repeal General Statute 66-360. Why is that in the bill, and was that also a request from the Department of Information Technology?
Mr. Speaker, if I may.
The gentleman has the floor to answer the question.
Thank you. Representative, I'm not sure, and I haven't had a chance to look at the conference report since we brought it back. What we were working on over the last several weeks with DIT is just to get a conference report that the agency needed. I'm not, to be honest, not really sure on that specific part of that, just because we've done so many back and forth and just kind of waiting around on the right language with our staff and with DIT. So I don't readily know the answer to that. I know the final product when we worked with DIT is that they said, you know, it's a green light, let's go with it and get it over with. So, thank
you. What purpose, gentlemen?
To debate the bill, sir.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the conference report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, General Statute 66-360 deals with the franchise cable company statute in North Carolina. That statute requires the cable provider to provide service at no charge to public buildings that exist within 125 feet of their infrastructure. So this may negatively impact some of the smaller communities. I don't think it's going to have a negative impact in Charlotte or Raleigh, but it may have a negative impact in some of the smaller communities who rely on that service in libraries, fire stations, courthouses, recreation centers, and I went back and checked, and this repeal of that statute did not exist in the original bill that we passed out of the House with overwhelming support. So I was just a little concerned about where this came from, and just gives me cause to pause. Thank you, sir.
For what purpose, gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise.
To speak on the conference report.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the conference report.
Well, again, this is something that's come back from the Senate with a poison pill in it, which you have just heard about. I'll read you two sentences. It's a very short little bit. It says 66360. At a written request of a county or city, a cable service provider operating under the state-issued franchise must provide cable services without charge to a public building located within 125 feet of the provider's cable system. A public building is a building used as a public school, a charter school, a county or city library, or a function of the county or city. This was a good provision in our statutes, and we're repealing it here. Clearly a special interest insert, and I would encourage you to vote against this conference report and get this stricken and get it back to us to concur. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to speak on the bill a second time.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the conference report a second time.
I would like to, as I was sitting here going through and folks were in my office were hearing the debate, reminding me that that part of the bill that's been inserted seeks to comply with an upcoming FCC decision that has been announced that provision addresses a provision from 2006 that the FCC is now going to make is kind of doing away with a provision that was a relic of bygone technological era, and the provision is going to go away from the FCC. This just puts us in compliance with that. It's not a major conspiracy. It's just trying to conform with what's happening on the national level. And I do urge your support of the bill. I know the DIT has waited for this. I also know that time is of the essence with the Senate as they are in our negotiations, the conference committee, talking with those folks on the Senate side. They're about done with this bill. So for that little piece, I do urge do a little research, find out about what the FCC is doing, but more importantly, the other parts of the bill that DIT needs. Do urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 217. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Soka, wish to record on the bill? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 67 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 217, and the Senate will be so notified. Messages from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Messages from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 206, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to laws related to transportation. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Hall.
Bill is ordered and rolled and sent to the governor. Clerk will continue.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts a report for conferees for House Bill 217, conference report, a bill to be entitled an act to make miscellaneous and technical changes to the statutes relating to the Department of Information Technology, amends various statutes relating to the state agency cybersecurity, amends various statutes related to the Energy Telephone Service and the 911 Board, repeal the requirements of the cable services provides must be provided with cable service without charge to a public building located in 125 feet of the provider's cable system, create information technology strategy board, require training and certification of police telecommunicators to clarify the authority of the state chief information officer to make personnel decisions relating to employees of the Department of Information Technology. When appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Hall.
Bill is ordered and rolled, sent to the governor. Further message from the Senate, Corker Reed.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report for conferees for Senate Bill 438, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the implementation of the North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain statewide reading proficiency by the third grade. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Hartman.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 537, House Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to examine and establish a new adult care home payment methodology to amend the licensed personnel counselors and to update the revised Substance Abuse Professional Act. Practice Act, and to amend the Social Worker Certification and Licensure Act, and to amend the Department of Health and Human Services statutes pertaining to Medicaid, Social Services Reform, Child Support, Vocational Rehabilitation, the State Consumer and Family Advisory Committee, Employee Assistance Professionals, Adoptions, Child Abuse and Neglect, Joint Security Forces, Security Recordings, NC REACH Program, Traumatic Brain Injury, and the Medical Care Commission membership. Respectfully, Sarah Holling, Principal Clerk.
Noted. For what purpose, Chairman, from Wake, Representative Martin Rice?
To request to be recorded as voting aye on, or, I'm sorry, no on House Bill 217.
Gentlemen, be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 217. Gentlemen from Bell, Representative, gentlemen from Wayne, Representative Bell is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus in 12:28 immediately upon recess. Please be prompt and hope all of you can attend.
Members, we're about to stand at ease until 5. Any notices or announcements before we stand at ease? All right, the House is at ease.
The House will come back to order. Representatives Dixon, Brisson, Strickland recognize sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Dixon, Brisson, and Strickland, Agriculture Committee report, Senate Bill 380, DNCR, add new trails and various changes, House Committee substitute report without prejudice, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-refer to Judiciary.
Senate Committee substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary. Representative Lewis recognized and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House Committee report. Senate Bill 353, expand Carkway Path Law. Favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute.
Senate Committee substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee substitute will be counted for 36B for tomorrow.
Senate Bill 361, Healthcare Expansion Act of 2019, favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute Number 2, counterfeit Rule 36B. Members, we're going to resume our calendar. Senate Bill 681, the clerk will read.
Senators Berger and Tillman, Senate Bill 681, a bill to be entitled an act to establish a rural health care stabilization program to give counties additional flexibility in regard to local option sales tax and use tax without increasing the existing maximum tax rate and to expand eligibility for utility account funds. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to debate the bill on third reading, and the House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a good debate yesterday, a good positive green vote yesterday. I appreciate your green vote again today. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen Rise.
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members of the House, I plan to vote for this bill because I hate to see one of our county hospitals close. I've had one in my district close. Now, it is a tragedy for your community to lose their public hospital. So I would not wish that on any member here. So this $20 million to help this hospital stay afloat as a loan, I can step forward with. It's in the budget. If we would bring the budget up to a vote, we would take care of it that way. But I'm willing to support my members here, Representative Hurley and Representative McNeil, for their constituents. But what I can tell you is I want you to realize that every member in here, all 120 of us, have $20 million a year at stake in Medicaid expansion every year, each and every one of us. And this little hospital needs that $20 million from each of their reps, you know, in the neighborhood of $40 million a year to sustain it, to cover uncompensated care, so that it is a viable institution serving the people of their community as my community needs my $20 million in my district every year. So I'm stepping up to help you. I want you to realize what we're doing by delaying expanding Medicaid for each and every member in this delegation. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 681 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 81 having voted in the affirmative and 31 having voted in the negative. Senate Bill 681 passes its third reading, be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 295, the clerk will read.
Representative Tillman, Senate Bill 295, a bill to be entitled act to make various changes to local standards for student conduct and require the Department of Public Instruction to develop a plan for employee and teacher with the North Carolina Virtual Public School and report to the Joint Legislative Education Oversight Committee. General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Before we get into debate on the bill, the chairs are going to go ahead and take up the amendment. Representative Horn, recognized send forth amendment ABE 57. The clerk will read.
Representative Horn moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 2 through 4, by rewriting the line to read.
Chairman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment simply reinstates some language that was struck from the bill on page 2, lines 2 to 4. It is our business in the state to educate kids, and that's exactly what we want to do, and that's, we don't want to give principals or teachers the impression that we don't want to do that. However, I also want to point out that this amendment does not interfere at all with the discretion of the principal, his or her, at his or her discretion. She can determine that aggravating circumstances justify treating a minor violation as a serious violation. That remains in the bill. So I ask you to please support the amendment.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognizes to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Speaker. We had a great debate on the whole bill yesterday, but this is an amendment that my friends on the other side of the aisle tried to run also yesterday. In my humble opinion, it just takes away the feeling and the good that is in the bill. And let me explain some of just reading exactly from the bill. It said some concerns were that it would have more long-term suspensions or expulsions when we should be restricting the long-term suspension and expulsion. So the bill actually says, and has for instance conceptions, that the board policies that we're not drafting but the people back home would draft shall minimize the use of long-term suspension and expulsion by restricting the availability of long-term suspension or expulsion to those violations deemed to be serious violations of the board's code of student conduct, which is what they are going to draft and approve with parental involvement. Simply says that. So what I've decided to do is strike the language that would rule out some of that conduct, because what inevitably will happen is that if someone, let's say you're a teacher, you're in a hallway and you've asked a young student to go ahead and get to class, a bell had rung and the student justified your authority and said, no, I'm not. And you ask them again, please go to class. No, I'm not. Please, if you don't go to class, I'm going to have to report and you may be expelled. No, you can't expel me because the language basically says because I'm in noncompliance with a staff directive, you can't. And then that, of course, would pass in a court of law. We had a good vote on this. We had a great debate on this yesterday. The amendment has come back in front of us today. I would appreciate a vote down. Everything we asked for and everything we talk about is actually in the bill with parental involvement. Thank you very much. I would vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A4, sent forward by Representative Horn. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lot Machine, record the vote. 69 have voted in the affirmative, 44 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognized to debate the bill.
Vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 295 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lot Machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. Senate Bill 295 passes its third reading. The bill is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 86, the clerk will read.
Senators Bishop, Crawford, and Edwards, Senate Bill 86, a bill to maintain an act to establish standards for association and health plan and multiple employer welfare arrangements. General Senator of North Carolina enacts.
We're going to dispose of the amendment on this first. Representative Hall is recognized to send forth Amendment ABC 90. Clerk will read.
Representative Kyle Hall moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 26, through page 2, line 31, by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman from Stokes is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is purely technical, requested by staff, and I would ask that you support the amendment.
Representative Turner, is this on the amendment?
No, sir.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lot Machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 1 the negative. The amendment's adopted. Gentleman from Stokes, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 86 provides for association health plans in North Carolina. I know, like many of you, I go around to my constituents and I hear the same concerns that health insurance is just too expensive, especially for independent contractors that can't go out and purchase it on their own. It's very expensive. It's not like a large group health insurance plan. For me, as a realtor, I see it with my own real estate firm that some of our agents can simply not afford to purchase health insurance on their own. I've heard it from a plumber in Pilot Mountain. I've heard it from a farmer in Lawsonville, North Carolina. I've heard it from a coffee shop owner in Walnut Cove, North Carolina. It's a problem in rural areas of the state. It's a problem in the urban areas of the state. Before you in Senate Bill 86 is a compromise version with the Senate on the Small Business Health Care Act. Expanding access to health care for hardworking small business owners and their employees across North Carolina is something that is vitally important to our state. It's been a long road since we started working on this bill in January, and I'm glad we were able to work together with our counterparts in the Senate to get this bill one step closer to the finish line. This draft marries the House and Senate version to create a second path under the Multiple Employment Welfare Arrangement Statute by which associations can obtain a fully funded or self-insured plan. The Small Business Health Care Act protects those with pre-existing conditions and further ensures that any insurance product offered will have to meet certain solvency standards. Language in this bill provides that any person that is a working owner or gets paid on a Form 1099 will be able to participate in these plans. This bill lowers the threshold for businesses that qualify for stop-loss insurance coverage from 26 to 20. This bill does not affect current MEWAs that are licensed and approved by the North Carolina Department of Insurance. These plans must be sponsored by statewide associations that have been established for at least 3 years. These plans must further be solvent through maintaining a minimum net worth equal to at least 1 month's premium. And self-insured associations must be licensed and regulated by the North Carolina Department of Insurance. These plans must cover at least 500 lives, cover at least 60% of the actuarial value of allowed costs for covered benefits, and cover hospital and physician services. I also want to thank my fellow House sponsors on the bill, House Bill 464, Representative Josh Dobson, Representative Holly Grange, and Representative Brian Turner for their hard work on this as well. And I also want to thank, and you have a handout on your desk, of all the groups, the trade associations that are fully in support of this bill, including the realtors, the retail merchants, the chamber, restaurant, lodging, and many, many others. And so I would ask that you please support this bill to support our small businesses across North Carolina. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as we all know, right now in North Carolina, you've got a few options when it comes to health care. This bill will add to those options. Now, if you're lucky enough to work for a large organization that offers coverage, then you've got access to your benefits through your employer. As a state employee, all of us in this room enjoy that opportunity to be part of an employer plan, the state health plan. But for many folks who are working for small businesses or own small businesses and their employees, farmers, employees of nonprofits, realtors, like me, like Representative Hall, for them, employee plans are not an option. For folks who don't work for a large employer, their options are limited to going out into the marketplace or going without coverage. And since the elimination of the penalty, that there is no cost to you of going without coverage, but there is real risk in not having coverage. So this bill would add an option for folks who count themselves among the thousands and thousands of people who are either members of an association or work for a small business or organization that is a member of an association. The health plans that could be created by this bill are not the association health plans of the past. These AHPs must cover pre-existing conditions, they have strict solvency standards, and they are bound by the same laws, rules, and regulations as any other large group plan in North Carolina, and they will be regulated by the Department of Insurance. At the end of the day, associations work for the benefit of their members. That is what they do. And I expect that the plans that will be offered will reflect that. This bill is about adding choices. It's about giving people access to health care that they might otherwise not be able to have, and that is always a good thing. I hope you will join me in voting green on this.
The lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this General Assembly has taken great efforts to make North Carolina a business-friendly state. From tax relief to regulatory reform and smart budgets, we've built a state government that strengthens our workforce. Our rapid job creation, population growth, and top national economic rankings are strong signs of success. We still have much to do. Despite booming business, small businesses struggle to afford health insurance for their families. Small businesses don't enjoy the same advantages as larger businesses to offer health benefits. Today, we are here to change that in our state, to support North Carolinians. We will send a message that North Carolina is not only open for business, that we are the best state for business. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I urge a green vote on this bill.
The gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, the Small Business Health Care Act provides a tool to our small businesses to combat the rising cost of health care under the Affordable Care Act and seek lower cost coverage options for their employees. Under this bill, organizations like the North Carolina Chamber, the North Carolina Retail Merchants, North Carolina Realtors, the Restaurant and Lodging Association, among many others, could offer high-quality health coverage to their employer members at an affordable cost. These organizations represent hundreds of thousands of small business persons, independent contractors, and employers who reside in all 100 counties throughout this state. Members, I'll say in addition to that, we failed to pass a bill last session, House Bill 933, because of some of the concerns that members on both sides of the aisle had on no solvency standards, no protections, none of those things that you would think should be in a bill such as this. All of those concerns, or most of those concerns, are alleviated in this bill. This is a completely separate bill. It's a completely different approach, and I would urge your support to Senate Bill 86.
Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, is recognized to send forth Amendment ABC 92, Version 1. The clerk will read.
Representative Cunningham moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 10 through 11, by inserting the following between the lines.
Ladies recognized to speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I used to be a small business owner. I was a franchise operator and owner for several years, so I know what it's like not to be able to provide that insurance. But when I was able to provide insurance, I had to look at what that insurance actually was going to provide for my employees. And I wanted them to have the same type of health care that I was able to have. So this amendment, simply what it does, because I believe that we are compromising too much in the bill, which the bill before had been amended and put the essential health benefits back in it, but it was removed. So this is simply asking that it be put back in there. And if you want to know what those essential health benefits are, I'm going to say what they are. There are 10 categories. The first category is doctor services. Second, inpatient and outpatient hospital care. The third one is prescription drug coverage. Fourth is pregnancy and childbirth and newborn care. The fifth one is mental health services and substance abuse services. Six, emergency services. Seven, rehabilitative services. Eight, laboratory services. Nine, preventable and wellness services. And 10 is pediatric services, including oral and vision care. Those currently are not guaranteed inside of this bill. And it is my hope that you would consider putting them back so that the people could get the same type of services that you are able to get under your plan, and that there's a guarantee that they would get those services. I ask for your support for the amendment. Thank you.
For our purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis Rice.
Debate the amendment.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as I listened to the amendment presenter speak, I was struck by the fact that she, like many people, cared very deeply for her employees and wanted her employees to have the very best that she could possibly make it possible for them to have. This bill is about providing a different way forward for employer groups who are struggling to be able to provide any kind of affordable benefit whatsoever to their employees to have a way to do it. I don't think there is particular objection with the 10 essential services as they are dubbed, and that's what, if we were going to talk back and forth, we probably would refer to them as. But these plans are different. These plans are unique. These plans are designed for employers to be able to come together and offer something, because something's better than nothing. And you've got to also understand that in today's world of, not all of us are doing great, but our economy is actually doing pretty well. And in today's world where you're trying to compete to get good employees and to keep good employees, you're not going to do that by offering substandard benefits. These association health plans need to be free to be able to design around the needs of those that belong to that association. Nothing in this bill, if this bill becomes law, will prevent an employer who is able or chooses to purchase regular small market insurance, which is what the lady was referring to and what is covered by the 10 essential services. And I want to make sure I keep saying that right, because I don't want to misspeak on this matter. But this is a different way to get there. This amendment is not necessary. This amendment would actually impair the ability of associations to be able to innovate and to provide this important these important coverages. Mr. Speaker, may I be recognized for a motion?
Chairman is recognized for a motion.
I move the amendment due lie upon the table.
Chairman has moved the amendment be tabled, and it has been seconded. Question for the House is the motion that the amendment do lie upon the table. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative, 49 the negative. The motion is adopted. For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Batch Rice?
To send forth an amendment.
The chair is in possession of the amendment previously filed by the lady, and the chair has ruled, pursuant to Rule 43, that the amendment is not germane to the bill, and the chair would point out the fact that in the amendment itself, that the title of the bill had to be amended in order for the amendment to have been considered.
And, Speaker, I would like to appeal the decision of the chair pursuant to Rule 9.
Lady is recognized for her appeal of the decision of the chair. The chair would simply point out that the chair is following the precedent heretofore on the matter. Question for the House. Pursuant to the rules, is should the members' appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? All those in favor of the member's appeal will vote aye. All those opposed to the appeal and voting to sustain the decision of the chair will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 50 having voted in the affirmative, 64 in the negative. The chair's decision stands. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Holly, rise?
To ask the question on the bill.
To which bill sponsor would the lady?
Representative Lewis.
I don't think it's his bill. The lead sponsor, I believe, is Representative Hall. Does the lady wish to address it to him? Representative Hall, is the gentleman yield?
I yield.
Heels.
Okay, my question is particularly, I was able into committee to get voted in the essential 10s. And obviously, I must have missed something because I don't know where it was voted out. And I was under the assumption that when something is voted in a bill, it has to be voted out of the bill. And I'd just like an explanation as to how that gets out of the bill without it going through another committee and coming out.
That's an excellent question. For one, this is a different bill. This is Senate Bill 86. The amendment that you're referring to was in House Bill 464. As I mentioned, this is a bill that we've already negotiated out with the Senate, and with multiple meetings that we've had with stakeholders, we believe that this was best kept out so that, as Representative Lewis has mentioned, so that these plans could be innovative.
May I speak on the bill?
Ladies recognized to debate the bill.
I more than anyone understand the importance of having insurance. And I don't think anybody in this chamber doesn't want small business to have the kind of insurance that they deserve. But when you take out the essential benefits of an insurance policy, and then they have no other options in some ways to get these essential benefits, and they'll accept a policy that the company may have, and then all of a sudden a woman finds that she's pregnant and that wasn't accepted by the, and have expecting maternity benefits. And we're going to end up her using her own money or being left out without maternity services because that wasn't an essential benefit that that particular plan decided to select. I just want us to be very, very careful when we start looking at coverage, that people get real coverage. I mean, I really wanted one to get real coverage, but we get real coverage. And I'm going to be a little bit more aware the next time when I do amendments and it's voted in a bill and it comes back and it's not in it.
What purpose the lady from Durham, Representative Black, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question, Representative Hall.
Representative Hall, gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you very much. With your permission, I'd like to read an email that came to me and have you answer the question so that I am clear about it. It comes to me from a constituent, and as an advocacy organization dedicated to fighting for people living with HIV, we know that association health plans will never provide the coverage benefits someone with HIV or another pre-existing condition needs, making this health insurance all the more expensive since association health plans siphon off healthy people without pre-existing conditions. Unfortunately, we've seen horror stories in states like Tennessee that allowed association health plans enrolling were just one accident or surprise diagnosis from facing a crisis with when their insurance plan wouldn't cover their necessary health plans. And so would you mind answering, explaining, or talking to that point for me since it is an email that came from a constituent?
Sure, be happy to. I don't know where your constituent's getting his or her information from, but this bill does cover pre-existing conditions, and it's regulated by the Department of Insurance, has strong solvency requirements for each plan, and it's to the point about the essential benefits as well. This is the same law, the same language that is used for large group insurance plans currently in North Carolina. So it's the same plan that R.J. Reynolds would have to abide by, or Cisco, or any of these large companies. This is just allowing these associations to form like they would.
Thank you, Representative Hall. May I make a statement?
Please recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you. I'd like to say that we know that all of us need to have health insurance. And I understand and appreciate that this bill is allowing health insurance for some of the smaller businesses. I hope that before we end, we will move forward in addressing the issue of health coverage for the people of North Carolina by expanding Medicaid. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from Orange, Representative Inskeer Rice?
To ask Representative Hall a couple of questions.
Representative Hall, gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hall, I actually tried to read the amendment as it was going through, and I pulled it back up, and I have a couple of questions about that. It says the definition of an employee, and I'm going to take these in order, although that may not be the most important one. An employer member is a person or entity acting directly as the employer of at least one employee or a working owner, either of whom is a participant covered under Path 2. So I assume that a person could start a business, and maybe even without hiring someone else, they could become a member of an association health plan. Is that correct?
So long as they're a member of the statewide trade association, which is defined in the bill.
And then on number three, would the gentleman yield for a follow-up?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you. Number three, multiple employer welfare arrangement, or MEWA, has at least one employer member of the MEWA that is either domiciled in this state. So is this a cross-state compact of some kind? Is it addressing a cross-state compact?
These are statewide associations. So the North Carolina Realtors Association is a good example. They would be the provider, or they would be the ones that would provide the association health plan, because they are the association, and their members can volunteer to either go and purchase health insurance through the North Carolina Realtors Association or whatever trade association it may be, or they can continue to stay on the exchange or whatever option they want to take.
And then
the lady wished to ask an additional question.
Thank you, Mr.
Gentleman.
Yield.
I yield.
Number four, I think I understand that one. This would be all contained within the state of North Carolina. There would not be people working for a company that were domiciled in another state. Or could a person be domiciled in another state and work for a real estate company, maybe that has multiple offices in multiple states? Would we be employing anybody else?
The member would have to be a member of the North Carolina Association of Realtors or whatever.
And live in this state?
Or the metropolitan area, I believe, is defined in the bill too. Because the example of a realtor would be that a realtor could work in Charlotte and sell homes in Charlotte, but live in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Okay.
Representative,
thank you.
Just to say, this isn't a conversation, so there's further questions. Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, so I have to begin my remarks today by asking, why are we debating this today? And I know your thoughts are probably going to move to, I'm going to try to turn this into a Medicaid expansion debate. And I certainly do believe that's a debate we should have one day very soon. But that's not my point today. My point today is, why are we doing this bill right now? And I wanted to make sure everybody knew that currently the type of plan changes we're talking about making are currently illegal under federal law. The 2018 rule change by the administration and the Department of Labor that would have allowed these types of plan expansions was challenged in court. The plaintiffs, I believe it was 12 attorney generals from 12 states across the nation, sued, and they won that challenge in district court, I believe, of D.C. district court. And that's been appealed to the Court of Appeals. The final briefs in that case are due this week, I think Thursday, as it would happen, and oral argument has not yet been scheduled. And then, as these things do, they're scheduled in front of a 3-judge panel. Oftentimes on an issue big like this, it'll go back to the full circuit court of appeals. And then either party could appeal that ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think we all believe this kind of issue will probably end up there. And they would probably not consider it to at least the 2020-2021 term of the Supreme Court. And by then, there could be actually a new administration and a new Department of Labor, and they could change the rule. But in the meantime, this administration, this Department of Labor, has advised the states not to issue any of these new plans, not to issue any of them. That's the advice from the Republican Department of Labor and the Trump administration. So again, I ask you, why are we doing this bill today? In rules, we talked a little bit about essential health services. You've heard the amendment from Representative Cunningham today, and the Affordable Care Act and these association health plans. And I think today you've heard that some of the bill sponsors have argued that they need the flexibility in these plans not to cover all these services. Some have argued that in order to be competitive with the marketplace and get employees, that they'll have to basically cover all these, although we don't want to make them do it under the law. But these are services such as maternity care, newborn care, mental health treatment, substance abuse treatment, and prescription drugs. Whether we like it or not, association health plans are not like large employers. Large employers have a very different incentive to offer broad coverage with strong benefits so they can recruit and retain a diverse workforce. Association health plans do not have the same incentive. They have a closed risk pool. Their incentive is to keep costs low and avoid high-risk enrollees. They have a strong incentive to offer bare-bones coverage because they're actually trying to save people money. And when that coverage isn't sufficient, we all bear the burden. Take maternity care. If it's not covered, somebody could end up on Medicaid, and the taxpayers would have to step in. If someone doesn't have enough coverage, they end up going to the ER because that's covered anyway, and we all bear the consequences of that. But these are not the only consequences. If employees currently have, or if under this bill, if employees gain access to an employer-sponsored insurance plan, under this bill, as long as the premium is under 9.86% of their household income, they will no longer be eligible to receive premium subsidies on the ACA exchanges, regardless of whether their income is low enough to otherwise qualify. So what that means is it's possible for employees to be offered insurance through an association health plan and lose their eligibility that they currently have for premium subsidies under the ACA. So that employee will get stuck with less coverage at a higher cost than they currently have under the ACA. There are also consequences for the folks left behind in the marketplace plans as healthier folks move to association health plans. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to this quote from the Congressional Budget Office on association health plan rules. Someone sent me this, I think they sent this, this PowerPoint to us in argument that it was in favor of the plan, but so I actually read what the CBO said. So here's the quote. Once the two rules take effect, premiums for coverage in the fully regulated small group and non-group markets are projected to be roughly 3% higher than they would have been without these rules. In 2028, for example, such an increase would raise average annual premiums by roughly $350 to $400 for single coverage and $900 to $950 for family coverage. Premiums for fully regulated coverage are projected to rise because people who continue to purchase coverage in the fully regulated markets are expected to have higher average health care costs than those who purchase association health plans or short-term plans. Because federal subsidies defray some of the higher costs, the CBO and the Joint Committee on Taxation do not expect that premium increase to spur a noticeable decline in insurance coverage, end quote. It's the last sentence that really caught my eye, because federal subsidies defray some of the higher cost. So what that means is younger, healthier people will leave the marketplace for association health plans, but we, the taxpayers, will left be paying more in subsidies to those who remain. So we are actually subsidizing folks to move to association health plans where they will most likely get lesser coverage than under the ACA. That just seems very perverse to me. If we're going to expand access to association health plans, we need something to balance it out. We need to drive down costs in the marketplace. One way to do that would be to expand Medicaid and close the coverage gap. By some estimates, based on what has happened in other states, that could reduce individual market premiums by 7 to 11%. Final thing I want to say to you is I think we should all stop and pause and think about the patient advocacy groups who are opposed to Senate Bill 86 at this time. The American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, the American Lung Association, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the March of Dimes, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and NC Child. These groups are not about making money or standing in the healthcare industry. They exist solely to fight for their patients' health. If they think this bill is a bad idea, we should listen to what they have to say. I'd ask you to vote no on this bill.
What purpose, gentleman from Nash, Representative Galliard Rice?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Hall, is the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm just at a loss. What is the difference between an association health plan and health insurance? I mean, is this health insurance?
It's a way for an association member to purchase health insurance.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman may state his motion.
Well, on June 17th, this bill, with the referral to insurance, was stricken. According to the bill sponsor, it's insurance. And so I would make a motion that we will refer this bill to insurance.
Representative Gallier, the chair will entertain the motion, but before doing so, would point out to the member that the House version actually did go through the Insurance Committee. The Senate bill went through the Health Committee. So the text of the bill has had a hearing in Insurance. If the gentleman still wants to make a motion to, does the gentleman still wish to make a motion to remove from the calendar and send the bill back to the Insurance Committee?
I do still make the motion, okay. Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has made a motion that the bill be referred to the Insurance Committee. What purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis Rice?
Debate the motion.
Gentleman is recognized. Debate the motion.
Mr. Speaker, there are, as members in this chamber know, certain bills that are required to go to certain committees before they can come to the House floor. This is a policy bill. This has been through a policy committee. This is a, in my opinion, a dilatory motion, but I'm not going to offer that. I will simply ask members to vote no on this motion.
For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Holly Rice?
To debate the motion.
Please recognize, debate the motion.
The original bill that the House bill had, the essential 10 were voted in, and it was voted in, I think, in the Insurance Committee. The Senate bill has not been to the House Insurance Committee. Therefore, I recommend that we do vote to send this to the committee.
Further discussion, further debate on the motion? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to re-refer the bill to the Committee on Insurance. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Corbin, does the gentleman wish to vote on the motion? Clerk will, like machine, record the vote. 50 having voted in the affirmative and 64 in the negative. The motion fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 86 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Saying aye. Corporal Light Machine, record the vote. 83 having voted in the affirmative and 31 in the negative. Senate Bill 86 passed a second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Senator of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 86 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 86, having passed its third reading, will be returned to the Senate and is ordered engrossed. Mr. Court, the clerk has previously read the message from the Senate regarding Senate Bill 356, short title, Surplus Proceeds, Certified Seized Vehicle Sales. The chair appoints the following conferees on behalf of the House. Representative Ross, chair. Members, Representative Torbett, Representative Richardson. The Senate will be so notified. For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice.
Mr. Speaker, I was talking to Representative Hall, and I voted the wrong way on the last bill after I spoke against it. I'd like to be recorded as voting no on Senate Bill 86, please, sir.
Gentlemen, I actually voted the right way.
Not the way I did.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of Senate Bill 86. Stand at ease momentarily. Notices and announcements. For what purpose the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege.
Ladies recognize, speak to a point of personal privilege. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, here's something I believe we can agree on. This week, the North Carolina General Assembly's website took home the 2019 Online Democracy Award issued annually by the National Conference of State Legislatures to the legislative chamber, the legislature, or caucus whose website makes democracy user-friendly in an outstanding way. And our website, this House Principal Clerk is responsible for providing the information that keeps it all up to date. The website designers are in ISD under the director of Peter Capriglione. That includes Kelly Stallings, Seth McFarlane, and Kristen Svancake. So I wish congratulations to our House Principal Clerk for that good work and to our ISD.
What purpose the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Majeed Rice?
To give notice of a discharge petition, sir.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House Rule 39, I am giving notice that I will file a motion and a requisite petition to discharge House Bill 312, titled Hate Crimes Prevention Act, from the Judiciary Committee with the Principal Clerk today. In accordance with the rules, I've obtained a fiscal note to be included with the petition.
Noted. Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 8th at 9 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Faircloth, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 8th at 9 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Speaker Moore is recognized to send forward a conference report. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 438, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appoint to resolve the differences between the Senate and House of Representatives for Senate Bill 438, a bill to be entitled Act to modify the implementation of the North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain the statewide reading proficiency for the third grade. House Committee Substitute Favorable 710-19, fourth edition engrossed 722-19, submit the following report. The Senate and the House agree to the following amendment to the House Committee Substitute Favorable 710-19, fourth edition engrossed 722-19, and the Senate concurs in the House Committee Substitute as amended. Delete the entire House Committee Substitute Favorable 710-19, fourth edition engrossed 722-19, and substitute the attached proposed conference committee substitute S438-PCCS15404-TC-5. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report, August 7, 2019. Conference for the Senate, Senator Berger, Chair, Senators Ballard and Horner. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Moore, Chair, Representatives Elmore and Horn.
Pursuant to Rule 44D, the bill is placed upon the calendar for August the 8th. Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 574, House Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to establish the North Carolina Gaming Commission. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Thank you very much.